Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
I'm going to introduce our speaker this morning. Most of you know him. His name is Rick. So if I could have Rick come up to preach the word. And if you would be so willing to extend your hand forward as we pray for our brother.
I knew it, right?
Lord, thank you so much for Rick. Thank you for his heart. Thank you for his preparation in this message. And I pray that you would empower him, that you would be with him, and that you would use him to change our lives. That's what we're looking forward to, God, is like when a human meets with you, he's forever changed. And so I pray that we would all be changed as we meet with you through the proclaimed word this morning. And we love you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Get it, bro.
Amen, amen. Good morning, you guys. Thank you, Bobby. Yeah, talk about change. I can tell you that change happened for me and my family about 5 or so years ago, not really knowing Jesus in the way that we know him now. And then look, here we are. So that's a praise to God. So as Bobby said, my name is Rick. I'm one of the deacons here at the church, and it really is my honor when I can come bring the message from God to the people today. And I was reminded this morning when I came into the church, somebody said something very, very wise, and that was, stress is overrated, right? He spoke about it this morning. So we're going to do this in a participatory way this morning. Everybody, I want you to take a big breath in and let it out. That feels pretty good, doesn't it? Let's do that again. Okay, truth be told, that was more for me than it was for you guys. So if you've been coming here over the last couple months, Bobby mentioned this, that we are just closing out the sermon series called Gifts. Now, I think today's teaching is going to be a really nice segue from learning about those gifts, praying for those gifts, and then trying to step into those gifts, your particular gifts, as we build up this church. Going to help us in our vision towards what we want to do here at Restoration Church. Are you guys up for that? Great. I can't say that without chuckling a little bit about that sermon series. I was reminded during prep of the very first message that Bobby gave. It was a summary of the gifts that were to come. Now, he listed several of them. What do you think were the ones that everybody focused in on right away? It was speaking in tongues, prophecy. It was almost like churches gone wild in this place. And it poured over into the community groups where I was getting the input, like, what is going on here at Restoration Church? Where are we headed? God has really been working in your hearts. And I've seen that over the last however many weeks as we've talked about these gifts, in that those same people are now not only letting the fear go to the side, putting the anxiety away, but they're now praying for those gifts, and some people are actually starting to step into those gifts. So God is truly working on our hearts, and we just say amen and amen. All right, this morning, we're going to talk about our vision. We're going to set the stage, basically, for this church for 2023 and beyond, okay? That we are a family that exists for people to find and to follow Jesus. And why do we do that? Because we are for Jesus, God, yes, all of that. So we're going to get right into it this morning, and we're going to have you turn to page 545 in your pew Bibles, and we're going with Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. Now, if you don't have a Bible, please take that with you. Consider that a gift from our church. If you're watching us online and you don't have a Bible, contact us at, I think it's r-church.org, and we'll get one out to you right away. Okay, if you would please stand when you've gotten there. Again, that's going to be Proverbs 24, 3 through 4. And I think that's page 575 on your Bibles if you're watching online. That's not true. Okay, here we go. Proverbs 24. By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Who doesn't want this? So my title this morning is, Who's In? Please join me in a word of prayer. Father, we pray this morning that you would keep us from building your church based on our own ways, based on our own thoughts, our own opinions. Lord, we seek guidance and we seek an open heart to hear your instructions, not only hear them, Father, but to implement them for your will in your house, which, by the way, was built specifically to help people find and follow Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please take a seat. Okay, so as I said this morning, we're going to take our vision and we're going to use that this morning to serve as a reminder of who we are and why we are that. Now, many of you might be asking, why are we going over this statement again? We basically see it every Sunday in our welcoming. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're a first-timer here at our church, maybe you've only come once or twice, first of all, we say welcome and thank you for being here. But this is going to give you a very good idea about what our church is about, the direction that we're headed in. And you get to make your own informed decision, is this where I want to be? Now, we hope that answer is yes. If you're a long-timer here, then this is absolutely a call to action. And it's going to serve as a reminder to each one of you what is already true about us and that we were built to build. I want to hear you guys say that. We are built to build. Absolutely. So in that, we're going to break this statement down, this vision statement down into four components this morning. And we like to call that our four fours. If we have a slide up on the screen. We are for people, we are for finding Jesus, and we are for following Jesus. Again, we do all of this because we are for Jesus. Now, you don't have to worry about writing it down. This is going to be available on our notes probably within the next day or so along with the sermons. Now, something that's missing from that is we're not focusing too much on the family part. And I want to tell you, the reason that I don't feel like we're going to spend a lot of time as a family on that part is because we do a pretty darn good job, would you say so, about being a family. I know personally, as I went through some of my health struggles recently, that you guys surrounded me and my family with all sorts of grace, lots of food, lots of prayer. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, I'm happy to say that God has been good in our life as it relates to that. And I was reminded of that, by the way, when we made a recent trip down to Mexico. Now, some of you know that Juanita and I and Eric went down to Mexico, this little city called Aquizaramo, Mexico. I can't spell it, but I can say it. Aquizaramo, Mexico. And one thing that I felt when I was in there almost immediately was a sense of family. And I thought about this community and our own church. These folks, if you're sick, they are going to come to you with whatever you need, medical. If you need prayer, they're going to surround you for prayer. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that later. And certainly, if you're hungry, they're going to feed you. If you're not hungry, they're still going to feed you. That is just how it is. I love that, though. And I do want to say that there's going to be a few stories that I'm going to kind of embed in this scripture because that trip was so much more than just taking some time away from the stresses of this world. In fact, it wasn't going to Cancun. It wasn't going to the beach. This was a community that basically is embedded in the southern central part of Mexico that has no traffic lights, no street signs, cobbled streets, dirt roads. Often you'll see people coming along on their horses. It's third world at its finest, but what an awesome place, and it exhibits the family. So I just wanted to say that because I felt that when I was down there, and just tells you that God's reach is just, it's so far, right? It's to the thousands and thousands of miles away, and that was just an awesome time. All right, well, let's get into it. Point one for this morning of our four fours is we are for people, and we aren't just for people. We are for all people. And why do we do that? Because the Bible says that all people were created in the image of God. Who knows the Latin term for that? Bobby, don't answer. Who knows that? Imago Dei, that's right. But God not only just knew what we were going to do now, he thought about it a very, very long time ago. In fact, he loved us so much that he defined this pathway for all his people before we were even born. I'm going to look at Ephesians 2, verse 10, which, by the way, was taken by a letter written by Paul, not Paul Wilson, even though he may have been around at that time. We have maybe a sighting. Yeah, I'm sorry. And Paul's, his main goal with this letter, and especially the scriptures, is that he wanted to energize the faith of these Ephesian Christians. And it's the same goal, by the way, that we want today and every day that we bring the word to you. So let's look up on the screen. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, in the study, I came across the Passion Translation, and I've never used this or I've actually even seen the Passion Translation, but this one spoke to me, and this is what it says, which is the same, but saying it differently than Ephesians 2, and it says, "We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it." What does that mean? When we say we are for people, how do we tie that in with that? Well, that means, frankly, that we are for the lost, we're for the poor, we're for the downcast, we are for fill in the blank. Basically, I call them the souls that the world has basically deemed without value or without worth. We find in Luke 14, verse 22 through 24, and I love the way this says this. "Then Jesus said to his host, 'When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.'" We are for all people. When I read that verse, it reminds me, Diane and Juanita and those that have worked in the food bank can attest to this. Over the last few months, for many years, we've been offering a service here through the food bank to serve the people that we're talking about here. And over the last few months, I've allowed some of the difficulties associated with the food bank, whether it's ordering it and not having enough food and feeling that burden, or whether or not we've had some invoice problems or they don't call us back. It really led to the point where we were considering not doing the food bank anymore. So I talked with Pastor Bobby, Juanita and I, we prayed about it, and ultimately what happened is that we started getting people coming to us for not just the food. In essence, they would walk up and say, "Hey, can I have prayer? I lost my husband last week. I lost a child last month. I just need to be listened to." And that told my heart, this isn't about the food. This is about Jesus. And oh, by the way, just because we're a church doesn't mean we're actually able to spread that word as easily as we want. We have to kind of take a step back and allow that to happen. And God revealed himself during these times to say, yeah, this isn't about the food. Let's keep the food bank going. So we are going to keep the food bank going. I just want to say that. All right. So let's talk about why we are for people. And this is a really important part about this entire four for fours, because if we aren't really good at being for people, it's going to be really difficult to help them follow Jesus. And I would ultimately say is if we have difficulties being for people, I really wonder if we are for God. So that's not an indictment. That's just to check yourself, check myself, and where our hearts are. We are people because humanity was originally designed to be like Jesus. Isn't that true? But through our brokenness, it is hard to see that. I think about the broken mirror. Bobby and I talked yesterday about this broken mirror image. Do you remember at one point in time he had a broken mirror here during, I think it was Advent? It was really, really impactful. Because you could go up and see that broken mirror, and what was the one thing you couldn't see? You couldn't see the true image of what God has for you. We are broken, and could you imagine what it is like for that downcast person, that homeless person? In fact, on the way here, as I was picking up my coffee of $5, I'm sitting here watching several homeless people walking. One woman had absolutely nothing but the torn clothes on her back. Another lady had all of her possessions in a shopping cart. And it just reminded me that we are for all people. And if we want to see the reflection of God in that mirror, then we have to seek him. Sometimes it's impossible to see where you really, really are, especially through that reflection. And this is why we need to be for people with a sense of humility as we see our life in a true reflection of Jesus. Because without him, wouldn't you guys all agree, we are lost, right? Yeah. Simply put, our church strives to be like that. I guess my hope would be, is if someone comes to that door now, clothes are torn, dirty, tattoos, maybe just got out of county, looking like they came out of county lockup, what would we hope to do? Love on them, surround them. Because remember, God already hates the wicked. That's not for us. That judgment of those wicked, that's going to happen in his time. But in the meantime, we are called to be like Jesus to all people. Amen? All right. Even for the seasoned Christian, I do want to say this. Let's not forget where we were all at one point. Right? Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 9 speaks about this just perfectly. So I'm going to read through that. Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 9. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. I'm going to read that again. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in his mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Amen? Amen. By grace, you have been saved and raised us. Thank you, Jen. One person loves that. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, going forward, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Amen and thank you. Yes, this is why we are for people. Really, it's as I said, it's really, really important because we want to drive this home that we got to be for people or the rest of it doesn't fall in alignment like we need it to. But the encouragement is when you do that well, then we are better able to help people find Jesus, to follow Jesus, which brings us to point two. Point two is we are for finding Jesus. Now, this verse that we found, I love all these verses, so you're going to hear me say that a lot. I love this verse, but I do. Romans 10, verse 9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, if you're someone just trying to determine, is this Jesus thing real? Like, really, guys, you expect me to believe that? If you're in that spot, or perhaps you're struggling with your own belief, this is going to be your starting point all over again. And for some of us, it may seem that God is just so far away. Sometimes our sin can absolutely do that. It gets in our way. In fact, if you think about that, we stand here. We put our sin right in front of us. And what does that do? It blocks that vision to be able to see God. The purpose here today is to be able to take that sin and move that to the side. Let God handle that and see him directly through that relationship. Amen. So God is not hard to find, and I want to confirm that with Acts 17, verse 27. And it says that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. Really, the important thing here is that if you are seeking God, as we've said, he is not far. You can find him, and we're here to help you do that. So the question would be then, how do we do that? On what authority do we have to do this? Matthew 28 says it perfectly. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. Not sometimes. I am with you always to the end of the age. And when I read that scripture, and every time I read that scripture and we talk about how we're going to implement, this is the go part. The one thing I kind of feedback I get back is make disciples. What does that mean? And I'm a little uncomfortable. Like me, if you're introverted, it can be difficult to be able to do that. But we're asking you to be able to step into that, right? So baptizing them is finding Jesus. Teaching them is following him. Disciples do both of those. I want to tell you, this is one of the stories I wanted to share with you about this trip to Mexico, if you'll bear with me here. This was probably, midway through the trip. Juanita says, hey, we're in bed. And she says, we got to get up. We got to go over to a family friend's house. This woman just lost her husband, a month or a month and a half before that. And we're gonna bring her Gatorades. I thought, okay, Gatorades, those are awesome. I hope that helps. So we walk over. I've never met this lady at all. And she invites us into her home. I don't know if she spoke any English or not, Juanita. I don't think there was much. And flowers and food. I'm sorry, I'm going to get so much trouble for saying just Gatorade. Flowers, of course we bring food. That's what they do. So as Juanita was having this discussion in Spanish with her, I know a little bit, just enough to keep me in trouble, or out of trouble, rather. And I sat there and I became overwhelmed thinking about this woman and her loss. God put it in my heart to pray for her. And so I was just waiting for that opportunity to say, hey, babe, can I just pray for her outwardly? And then came her son and her daughter and their kids. They filled around the kitchen table, and I went, I'm not going to do that. I was, a little stressed. Like, I don't know them very well. And God quickly said, no. This is one of those opportunities. Step into that opportunity. So I basically waited for them to stop talking. I won't comment on that. And then I said, can I pray for you guys? And the son says, are you feeling something? The emotion was welling up to tears, basically, on a person that I didn't have any idea who they were and really knew. And I got to be able to pray for them hand in hand with this family that I've never met before. Now, I'm pretty sure I jacked it up because I was trying to talk Spanish, and then I started off with Padre instead of Father. And then it just went from there. So I don't really remember exactly what I prayed for, but the intent was there, and it was well received. In fact, it was so well received that each time that we saw this family walking through this little town, we got, we came together, just a heartfelt kind of a greeting, and you could see that there was something really special about that. And then the son backed it up with this. He says, you know that you are now, or she is now your comadre. And now, if you know anything in the Spanish world, that is a title or something that's dear to the heart. And that was all because I was able to step into that particular situation and offer prayer. I think it was awesome. And I just wanted to share with you guys that God is pursuing us. God was pursuing them. And this day it happened to be through prayer. So I just want to remind you with Proverbs verses 8, I think it should be up on the screen. Here we go. It says, I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently, they find me. So once we've helped people find Jesus, the work just doesn't stop there. Think about the times when you've sent your kids, if you've had kids or you're babysitting or whatever, and you send them off on their first day of kindergarten. We don't just put them on the bus and then we walk away from the whole thing and we'll say, hey, we'll see you when you graduate. We are there to help people follow. Right? We want to be there. We just want to be there to help them grow. And that's what our calling is to do here. We're just not done. We are called to go alongside them. And in this case, the context is that once we help people find Jesus, we want to help them now follow. So it begs the question, first of all, who's in for helping people find Jesus? If you didn't answer, that's fine. All I'm asking you to do is think about that. And if you're not in quite yet, let's talk about that. There is a pathway. So not only do we help people find, as I said, but we also do help people follow Jesus, which brings us to our point 3. We are for following Jesus. Now, I said before, first of all, let me say it's going to be work. Not works in a way, meaning that we have to try to earn, gain, or sustain. We're talking about the kind of good work that's done out of the gratitude for what Jesus has already been given us as Christians. Now, I've said this before, Christianity is a participatory sport. You got to get involved. Why is that? Because we help souls navigate through the seasons of difficulty. We've certainly been helped that way, haven't we? Let's give that back. Yeah, this is a reminder of how a hand-in-hand walk with Jesus provides us absolutely everything that we need to manage this world until we are truly called home. Amen. And it, by the way, we talked a little about this earlier. It just serves as a reminder that during this process, and if you sit here today as a Christian or not, it is okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. We are a beautiful mess. Isn't that true? For me, I can tell you, I'm not sure it's so beautiful, but I'm a mess. But honestly, with the corrected vision, we too can all become like Jesus or be closer to being what our intended heart was at that time, to be like Jesus every day. 2 Peter says this really nice. He says, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of our sinful desire. So, as a church, we are called upon to learn about Jesus, implement that into our own lives, and then point others to follow him. How do we do that? I would say this is probably one of my favorite terms that I've learned since I've been here. How do we do that? How do we get people to help find and follow Jesus? Life on life. Get involved. Attend your community groups. I can tell you stories about our community group where things have been said in that setting that has been helpful for growth for everybody in that. Invite someone to a cup of coffee. Find that person that maybe you're just not as comfortable with, or you just don't know them that well, and invite them to a meal. Heck, I could tell you stories upon how Kyle's Kitchen has changed my life when I was taken there. It's true. It's really true, you guys. Get involved with somebody, and you're going to be amazed on what the response and how Jesus is going to work within your heart. And there's one last really important way to help people find and follow Jesus. You can attend a church retreat on January 27th and 29th in Santa Cruz. See what I did there? If you weren't going, you are now. So, that in mind, no snorting, I heard that. I'm going to ask you guys, it could be rhetorical. Who's in? Who's in? All right, that leads us to our final point this morning, which is point four. We are for Jesus. And when I think about for Jesus, I think about two words, sacrifice, truly sacrifice, and response. We know that when life becomes difficult, it's very easy to forget that we serve a God who understands what sacrifice is. He knows what it's like to lose for the greater good. Does he not? I have shied away from using this next verse, which is John 3:16. I'm going to read that first, and I'm going to tell you why. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this rings true in my heart, right? I've stayed away from this, and I don't know why, because I've seen this on more coffee cups, more t-shirts. In fact, before I was even a Christian, I think I remember seeing somebody with rainbow-colored afro hair at football games holding up this sign. You guys remember that? That was my very first introduction to Jesus, was that sign, without even really knowing it. God's sacrifice is a true sacrifice. Jesus was born with nothing. He was born in a stable with animals. How humbling is that? Bobby already mentioned he lived the perfect life for us. He rose, he died, obviously, and he rose on the third day so that we could have life. We can have life through the Father for everlasting. It's an imputed righteousness, basically meaning we are granted a righteousness that is not our own. It's declared upon us. Although we are sinners, we are now seen perfectly. And here's the great thing about this statement. It's not just about a self-preservation thing. Hey, we're going to believe in God because I want to go to heaven. I think we all want that. But I want to shift your mind a little bit from the self-preservation part of it and realize that a Christ-minded walk during this time frame is an awesome walk. We are going to have difficulty. There's just no doubt. We think we could all say that we've had our share of difficulties. But I can tell you personally, going through those difficulties with God, hand in hand, arm in arm, it has made that so much more bearable. Almost to the degree, I'm not going to say I pray for difficulties, but I kind of embrace them a little bit more, that when they come, the burden that I put on ourselves for those difficulties is just a little bit less burdensome. It doesn't, the weightedness is just not as weighted as he is. And that's because we have Jesus to do the heavy lifting for us. Remember, you guys, everything that we go through has gone through Jesus first. He's not going to put us through something that he hasn't already experienced. So, what is our response to that? Well, Matthew 16, 24 says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." When I read that verse, this is what I referred to earlier. It is a call to action. We respond, how? Well, we make time for him. We study the word. We try to apply that in our life every day that we can. And then what do? We bring others alongside us. This is the following part. And we do all that because we are for Jesus. Now, I'd like to refer back to our original scripture. This is Proverbs 24. I'm going to read this again. And think about this in the context of this church and what we're going to do here in this church forthcoming in 2023 and beyond. "By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established." By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding his word, it is established. "By the knowledge, by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." So this church was built on the wisdom and the participation of all of those that are here that call this church home. And by understanding this vision, as we've discussed today, we know that the entire room is going to be filled with precious and pleasant riches. I'm going to ask again, who wants that? I do too. So considering this, again, that we are a church, we exist to help people find, actually, for people to find and follow Jesus. I'm going to ask you one more time. Who's in? That response is better than we started, so I'll take that. All right, before we go, I do have one last story that I want to share with you, and it's about this trip to Mexico, and it's talking about the community of believers that are for people to find and follow Jesus in the same way that we are, and they exist for those same reasons that we do. Now, I'm going to chop up this town name. Don't judge me on this. I don't even know if you would know how this is actually pronounced, but Chinguitiro. Gosh darn it, Juanita. Say it for me. Yeah, that's what I said. Really close to that. So when the whole town on this specific day towards the end of our trip, they all go to the jaripeo. Who knows what that word is? It's rodeo, which I don't know why they just don't say rodeo or something a little accidentally different, but they say jaripeo. Jaripeo. And so everybody goes to this, and I'm talking about in the thousands, people come from outside of the community to go to that. And it was interesting. This time, family says, yeah, we're not going to go to the rodeo. I thought, okay, that's fine. What are we going to do? We're going to go have dinner or have a late afternoon lunch at this really awesome restaurant in a town called Tlazazalca. And so we had a great dinner, and on the way back to the house, we ended up diverting and stopping at this town called Chinguitiro. Immediately, there's just, it seems like nobody's really around. Very, very small community. We walk past this huge church, and I thought, that's interesting. We're kind of going past the church, and we find ourselves on this property kind of back behind the church. It's all fenced off. And I go, wow, okay, this is neat. Open this small door, bang my head, I'm not going to lie, because all the doors for some reason are this high. And immediately was felt the Spirit led. And when I stepped into it, all I could see was a sea of pictures posted up on the wall. And I went, wow, what is this about? Well, there's a story about the actual cross that's in there and how it was carved out of a tree, and I won't get into all that. But what ended up happening is that as I'm walking along, I start scanning that wall, all the walls. And you see, I mean, you see kids, you see pictures of babies, you see all kinds of people that need prayer. And that's really what this is about. People come there and they post the pictures up and then they pray. And they pray. So I'm scanning along and I go, boom, there's my picture. Arms stretched out like this. Little did I know that this community, along with it started by my in-laws, and then followed along with this community, had put my picture up there 2 years ago when I got struck with cancer. And my mom says, well, we made a promise as a family and as a community that when you recovered, we're going to bring you back here and we're going to thank Jesus for that. And that's exactly what we did. And amen to that and amen. Now, that was awesome. So as I said, that trip was so much more than just family time. God led that trip in such an amazing way. All right, Jen, can I have the band come on up? So each week here, oh, yes, I should say this. I already said who's in. You guys are in. I know you're in. Each week, we go through something we call communion. It honors the sacrifices that were made by Jesus. And so over this next song, you're going to be welcome to this table. And we have communion set up on both sides. And as you get your communion, you can take that at any time during the song. And I just want to say, if you're not a Christian yet, you're not a Christian, we're not asking you to proclaim something that's just not true about you, but we are inviting you to the table. I like to quote Mark 14 when we talk about communion. It says, and as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for the Holy Spirit being present today and every day in our life. Lord, we thank you for what this little cup of juice, this little piece of bread signifies, that you have covered our sin with your blood, and you broke your body for our own sinful nature so that we could have this everlasting and wonderful relationship with you. Father, we love you. We trust you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.